The following is an exclusive presentation of the Southwest Georgia Network. Welcome to the High School Football Roundup Podcast, an inside listen on high school football in Southwest Georgia, only on the Southwest Georgia Network. Welcome back to another episode of the High School Football Roundup Podcast on the Southwest Georgia Network. I'm Walter Johnson, and recapping the games played on Friday, November 19th. 2021, and this episode is for the week of Monday, November 22nd of 2021, or 2021. So I'm going to go ahead and get started right now with this abbreviated pre-Thanksgiving episode of HSFR. Obviously start with the two Trojan teams serving the Albany metro area, or Albany, Georgia metro area, or the Greater Albany, Georgia metropolitan area, or the Greater Albany, Georgia area. And start with the two Trojan teams, one of them, the Lee County Trojans, and have advanced to the quarterfinal round in Class 6A for the fifth straight season, dating back to that first state championship season in 2017. However, how Lee County got there was anything but easy. And Lee County advanced with a 42-39 win, a very hard-fought win over a very solid Cambridge squad. And and Cambridge had only lost one game all season to Region 7 champion Riverwood, and another one of those schools out of the the Metro Atlanta area. So many of those schools in Metro Atlanta. I mean, it was a contest that was back and forth, and all night long at the Trojan Field. And see, Cambridge was had lost only once all season. Yes, and Cambridge came in as the number 2 seed out of Region 7 6A, ranked 9th in Class 6A in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and Georgia High School Football Daily Poll. And prior to their game against Lee County, and Cambridge says only loss came against the Region 7 champion from Riverwood. And it was a back and forth game, as I mentioned. And then 7-0 Lee County, and less than 8.5 minutes to go in first quarter, and then Cambridge tied it at 7 apiece, and then it looked this way. 14-7 Lee County, tied at 14 in Lee County, and went back on top, 21-14, and then just before halftime, Cambridge tied it again, and then after a Lee County miscue, and Cambridge scored on a field goal to take the lead for the first time, 24-21, and then less than 3 minutes later, and Lee County retook the lead on a touchdown, and then Cambridge took its second and final lead late in the third quarter for 31-28 advantage, and then 14 seconds later, Lee County took the lead back for good on a touchdown, 35-31, going to fourth quarter. And then with just under 7.5 minutes to go in the game, Lee County scored in another touchdown to go up 42-31. And then with 4:42 remaining in the game, Cambridge scored the game's final points with a touchdown and a two-point conversion. And Cambridge had one last chance to
get the victory, but fortunately for the Lee County Trojans, they made the big stops when they had to. Final score, Lee County 42, Cambridge 39. So Lee County with the win, and it goes to 11-1 on the season. And Lee County's in the quarterfinals in Class 6A for the fifth straight season. I mean, just an amazing, amazing victory. And obviously, it wasn't an easy victory for Lee County. And this Cambridge team fought hard to the very end. Next up for the Lee County Trojans, a rematch of last year's Class 6A state title game against the Buford Wolves out of Buford, Georgia. Buford won that game 34-31 in overtime. And both teams are ranked number one and number two in Class 6A. And Buford coming in number one, Lee County number two, and one of the other has won three out of the past four championships in the second highest classification as Lee County, won in 2017 and 2018. And Buford also won the championship in 2019 while they're in Class 5A. And Buford advanced to the quarterfinals with an easy 44-7 win over Lovejoy last week. And let's see, so unlike the Lee County Cambridge game, Buford easily just took care of business against Lovejoy, and Ashton Daniels threw two touchdown passes, while K.J. Bolden had a 26-yard touchdown catch and also recovered a block punt in the end zone for another score. And Victor Venn had a 57-yard touchdown run. And Buford's in the quarterfinals for the 22nd year in a row. And obviously that's something that's unheard of. And another tidbit. A few more tidbits from Lee County's victory over Cambridge. And the Trojans had 543 total yards, led by Osmani Kermaz, 259 yards and two touchdowns rushing. And the freshman, and according to the Georgia High School Football Daily Newsletter, has ran for 1,663 yards and 20 touchdowns this year. And also, Julius McLennan ran for 116 yards. And J.D. Fugerson had 9 catches for 166 yards. And Malcolm Jones had an 80-yard kickoff return for a touchdown while intercepting 2 passes. And at the kick 6, that 8-yard kickoff return for a touchdown from Jones was what put Lee County ahead to stay late in that third quarter, 2:36 to go in that period. And and mentioned earlier, and then Lee County scored another touchdown with less than 7.5 minutes to go in the game to go up by 2 scores, 42-31, and then Cambridge added a touchdown late with 4:42 to play. But were unable to get over the hump again. So that's going to be a good matchup. Tremendous matchup. Buford against Lee County. And hard to believe this. Just doing the math, I mean, that Buford's been in the quarterfinals 22 years in a row now, counting this season. I mean, talk about a program up there it's had such high expectations, and then it seemed like some 30 years, 30, 40 years ago, Buford competed in class single A, now then moved up to double A, triple A, 4A, or quad A, then 5A, 6A, by next season, they'll move up to 7A. So this Friday's game obviously will be the last game these two teams play for the foreseeable future. And after this season, unless Lee County head coach, the two schools decide to schedule each other in the future for non-region games. So Lee County hosts Buford, and then the other Trojan team here in the Albany area was the Daugherty Trojans from here in Albany. And Daugherty advanced to the quarterfinals for the first time since 2005 by pulling off the upset over Riverdale up in Clayton County, Georgia, just south of Atlanta. Final score 7-0, Daugherty. And unlike the Lee County Cambridge game, the Daugherty Riverdale game featured had more defense than offense. As a matter of fact, Daugherty's only touchdown came in the second quarter, and then the Trojans' defense and finished the job and getting the victory 7-0. Over the Riverdale Raiders in the upset. And Riverdale came in undefeated at 9-0-1 overall. And then they finished Region 5-4A or 5-Quad-A play. Undefeated as well. Undefeated and untied at 6-0. And going into the game against Daugherty last week. And Riverdale's only blemish came in a 14-all tie against Pebblebrook, and Pebblebrook I think was undefeated until they lost their game to McEachern. That was the only loss of the regular season. And Pebblebrook lost 33-22 to McEachern, who won the Region 2 7A title. And more on Class 7A, and right toward the end. And in a little quick hitter wrap up in this special abbreviated pre-Thanksgiving edition of the High School Football Roundup podcast. And it was Pebblebrook's season. Pebblebrook's season ended at 9-2-1 overall, with a 48-6 loss to Collins Hill. And more on that matchup later. And going back to the Daugherty Trojans and Daugherty. And going to 10-2 overall with a win. And the Trojans will remain on the road this week, making a short trip up to Columbus to face the Carver Tigers. And Carver advanced to the quarterfinals in Class 4A with a 52-12 rout over Hapeville Charter out of Hapeville, Georgia. And Hapeville had pulled off the upset over last year's Class 4A runners-up in the Jefferson Dragons out of Jefferson, Georgia, in the northeastern part of the state. And Hapeville's quest to pull off another upset fell by the wayside against head coach Corey Joyner and the Carver Tigers coming in ranked third in the state in Class 4A. And Corey Joyner, not only a former player, but also a former head coach at the former head coach at Daugherty. And then he took the Carver job several years ago. And the Tigers haven't lost since and the Tigers haven't lost a game since losing to Lee County 25-22 and at the Hamp Smith Classic and at the Albany State University Coliseum on the campus of Albany State University. This is back on August 21st, 25-22 was the final score there. You know, Tigers have reeled off 11 straight wins since that time. And it ain't the closest game Carver's had during that 11-game winning streak. It was a 13-point victory over Spring Valley of South Carolina. And obviously that's a team and many fans outside of Georgia, myself included, haven't heard of. And and that streak also included a forfeit win over a Jordan team. It's pronounced Jordan, not Jordan. And Jordan and had to cancel the rest of its season because of COVID-19 protocols. This week's game, quarterfinal game against Carver Columbus, will provide the biggest test. Johnny Gilbert, head coach Johnny Gilbert, and his Daugherty Trojans have faced all season long. And Carver advanced to the quarterfinals by taking down West Lawrence 22-7 in the first round, and then getting the victory over Hapeville 52-12. Daugherty's lost only two games all season. He lost both in Region 1 4A play, losing to Bainbridge for their first loss of the season, and the final score was 45-14. And then the other loss came to Cairo on October 28th. And seeing Daugherty had a 21-16 lead late, but Cairo came back, scored a touchdown, 2-point conversion, got the victory there, and then Daugherty rallied from a 23-15, made that a 15-0 deficit against Thomas County Central to pick up the victory 23-15, and the Trojans scored 23 unanswered points. And that game played at Hume Mill Stadium on November 5th. And then Daugherty traveled to Savannah, rolled past Jenkins 44-17. And then pulled off the upset over the 9th-ranked Riverdale Raiders just south of Metro Atlanta in Clayton County, 7-0. And then they got Carver Columbus this week. And that should be another good matchup. And again, another stern test for this Daugherty squad. And go ahead and take a look at the rest of the playoff action from this week, and then just previewing everything for this week in the Lowndes Vikings advance to the quarterfinals with a 35-34 win over Norcross at Martin Stadium in Valdosta. And Lowndes trailed 34-28 late in the contest, and then a touchdown with just over a minute to play, and then followed by the extra point, put Lowndes ahead for good. And then And then an interception right at the very end. And that sealed the game and the win for the Vikings. 35-34 the final score. So next up for the Vikings, another home game against Collins Hill. Collins Hill, one of the few undefeated teams left in the state, regardless of classification. And Collins Hill improved to 12-0 with a 48-6 rout over Pebblebrook, as I mentioned earlier. And so you got the number one team in the state in Class 7A, Collins Hill, facing off against the number five team in Class 7A, the Lowndes Vikings. So Collins Hill team making a long trip from Suwanee, Georgia, down to just outside of Valdosta, Georgia, South Georgia. So that's going to be a tremendous contest. And then Mill Creek visiting Milton in another semifinal contest. So Mill Creek is at number four team in the state, and Milton at number three. And then so the Collins Hill Lowndes game is one of many rematches. There's just a lot of rematches involving teams from our area, Southwest Georgia Network coverage area. And then So if we can look at that bracket here. And the winner of the Lowndes Norcross game will face the winner of Pebblebrook and Collins Hill. And for the Lee County Beaufort winner, the winner of that game will face either Carrollton or Westlake. That game will be played up in Carrollton, Georgia. And you can go ahead and move on to Class 4A. And the Bainbridge Bearcats advanced to the quarterfinals for the second year in a row as they crushed Northwest Whitfield out of Tunnel Hill, Georgia, near Dalton in Northwest Georgia. Final score 48-7 Bearcats. An easy winner there. And a straight win for the Bearcats. Next up for Bainbridge, a home game against North Oconee. And North Oconee pitched a shutout over Spalding. And 37-0, the final score. And the winner of that game will face the winner of the Marist of Atlanta and Benedictine in Savannah. Valve private schools. So say Bainbridge can take care of business against North Oconee. And then they could either get a potential matchup against Benedictine from Savannah, or face Marist in a rematch of a semifinal game from a year ago. And so obviously, first things first, if you're head coach Jeff Littleton and the Bainbridge Bearcats, you gotta take care of business against North Oconee, win that game, and then you can start worrying about either Benedictine or Marist, whoever wins that game. And the winner of the Darty Carver Columbus game in Columbus will face the winner of the Cedartown Perry game. So you got the approaching Black Friday, and then you got the Darty, you got the two teams from Region 1-4A in the quarterfinals, and both looking to advance to the semifinals. I mean, who would have thunk that? Who would have thunk up that possibility back in the beginning of the season in the middle of August? And so some other quick match, and also got some, and some And going through the rest of this in the playoff action, and it was Crisp County Cougars winning 9 in a row after a 3-0 start, pulling off the upset over the number 2 team in the state in Oconee County, 26-10. And Oconee County came in at 10-1 overall, one of those wins coming against the Thomasville Bulldogs. And but it was the Crisp County Cougars proving that the rankings are meaningless. 26-10 upset win over Oconee County. And the Cougars will get another shot at Cedar Grove, who eliminated the Saints from Atlanta in the playoffs last year in the quarterfinals. And Cedar Grove advanced with an easy 48-10 win over Southeast Bullock. And the winner of the Crisp County Cedar Grove game will face the winner of the Appling County Thompson game. And Appling County advanced with a 34-20 win over Cherokee Bluff. And Thompson moved to 12-0 on the season, but they struggled against a very strong Ringgold team, winning 14-7. And then and Crisp County's arch rivals from Region 2, AAA, the Peach County Trojans, pulled off the upset over the number 1 team in Class AAA in Monroe area, up in Monroe, Georgia, 24-21, the final score there. And Peach County will face defending AAA state champion Pierce County. And Pierce County won easily 49-0 over Dawson County, where that game will face where the Peach County-Pierce County game will face the winner of the Burke County-Carver-Atlanta game. Burke County over Stevens County 41-21, and Carver-Atlanta crushed Liberty County down along the coast into just south of Savannah. 53-12 was the final score there. Liberty County High School just right outside of Hinesville, Georgia. And quickly, in a Class AA bracket, going through the rest of the brackets. And then Thomasville winning easily over Hurd County, 42-16. And they'll face that sensational quarterback, Gunnar Stockton, in the Raven County Wildcats from way up in the Northeast Georgia Mountains next week. And Raven County ran all over Jeff Davis, 56-7. And the winner of that game will face the winner of the South Atlanta Callaway game and the defending Class AA champion Callaway Cavaliers from Hogansville, Georgia, travel to Cochran, pull off the upset over previously undefeated Bleckley County, 35-14. And Bleckley County had to rally from a 16-0 deficit to beat Early County 20-16. In South Atlanta, got by West Side of Augusta 22-17. And Fitzgerald traveled up into the mountains up in North Georgia, got by Fannin County 28-14. And Fitzgerald is on the road again, traveling to Eaton, Georgia this week to face Putnam County, with the winner facing the game between Northeast Macon and Swainsboro up in Swainsboro, Georgia, in the eastern part of the state. And Single A Public and no more teams in Region 1. And the Pelham Hornets, and who barely got by Scriven County 3-0, saw their season end with a 32-7 loss to Warren County. And Pelham was at home for that one. And Warren County will host Brooks County this week. And Brooks County, one of three teams from Region 2 to advance in the Single A Public playoffs. And then the number 3 seeded Trojans out of Quitman, Georgia, traveled to Washington, Georgia, and came back with a 61-28 route over Washington Wilkes. And Brooks, the winner of the Brooks County Warren County game will face either Turner County or Metter up in Metter, Georgia. And Turner County Titans out of Ashburn, one of the big surprises in this postseason so far. And the Titans escaped with a 38-36 win over Dublin in Dublin, and then they traveled to Bowden, Georgia, pulled off the upset over Bowden. 46-13, Bowden had lost only one game all season long. But obviously, that was meaningless to this Turner County squad. And the Titans are now 6-6 on the season. And Turner County will travel to Metter this week. And so potential matchup between Brooks and Turner in the semifinals should both teams win. And on the left side of the bracket in single-A public, the defending single-A state public state champions back-to-back seasons, Irwin County overcame a early 13-14-0 deficit to defeat Lincoln County 51-27, and Irwin County will host Macon County in the quarterfinals, and Macon County will pass ECI, Manual County Institute, 42-10, and the winner of that game will face either Manchester or Wilcox County. And Manchester and outlasted McIntosh County Academy. It was either 19-3 or 19-13. While Wilcox County needed overtime to edge Tryon 23-22. So I'm not sure if that's a... I can't see. I don't know if it's Manchester winning 19-3 or 19-13. Either way, Manchester will advance. Either way, Manchester will advance to the quarterfinals this week. Okay, it's 19-13. Manchester defeated the McIntosh County Academy. And Wilcox County needed overtime to edge Tryon with Northwest Georgia 23-22. So that means Manchester will advance to play at Wilcox County. So, and those matchups could go either way. And wrapping things up, how about in the GISA playoffs? Class AAA. The Tift Area Panthers from Tift County are the only team from the Southwest Georgia Network coverage area that's still playing for a shot at a state championship. And the Tift Area Academy beat Frederica Academy by forfeit. And it looked like Frederica either mustn't have not had enough players or the COVID protocols must have kicked in at that school. And maybe try to quickly find out what happened why that game wasn't played. Trying to quickly find out. And the Brunswick News out of Brunswick, Georgia reported that Frederica was forced to forfeit their quarterfinal game. And just as I figured, Tift Area's game against Frederica was forfeited due to COVID-19 protocols. It seems like a quick reminder that this virus is still hanging around. Whether people want it to hang it around or not. But in any case, Tift Area does advance to the semifinals against the number one seed John Millage Academy. And that game will be played in Milledgeville, Georgia. And John Millage advanced with a 42-6 victory over number nine seed Bullock Academy. And Westfield is the number 3 seed out of Region 4 AAA in the GISA. And Westfield advanced with another hard-fought win, beating Brookwood out of Thomasville, 49-41. And last year, Brookwood took Westfield overtime, only to lose, I think it was 50-49 or 49-48. But once again, as Brookwood season's come to a close, so the winner of Tiff Derry and John Millage will face the winner of Westfield and Pinewood Christian at Pinewood Christian in Belleville, Georgia, up in the eastern part of the state near Savannah. And Pinewood advanced to the semifinal round in GISA Class AAA after by shutting out Valwood from Valdosta, 42-0, the final score. And Valwood finishes its season at 3-9 overall, and Valwood advanced and Valwood advanced to the quarterfinals after knocking off fellow Region 3 AAA foe Southland Academy of Americas, 35-21 was a score there. And then Southland's 2021 football season came to an end at 4-7 overall, which included a 4-6 regular season mark and 1-2 in Region 3 AAA action. So, go ahead and wrap things up in GISA Class AA. And it was in Region 2, and the Region 2 AA champion Terrell Academy Eagles from Dawson advanced with a 37-7 win over Augusta Prep. And it's an 8-team playoff. And Terrell Academy's longtime rivals, the Southwest Georgia Academy Warriors, or SGA, Damascus, Georgia. And the Warriors, unlike the Eagles from Terrell Academy, weren't as fortunate as they fell to Gatewood out of Eatonton, Georgia, 35-6, the final score there. So Terrell Academy will be at home against Edmund Burke Academy in the second round, in the quarter semifinal round in GISA Class AA. And Edmund Burke advanced with an upset win over Briarwood Academy, 21-20, close game in the eastern part of the state. 21-20, Edmund Burke pulling off the upset over Briarwood. So, obviously, this Terrell Academy, the Eagle squad, and coached by veteran head coach Bill Murdoch, and they'll be in for a tough game this week. So, that's going to do it for this episode of the High School Football Roundup Podcast for this Monday before Thanksgiving, November 22nd of 2021. A quick reminder to listen to this podcast on Spotify exclusively, and listen on anchor.fm/SWJ Network. That's anchor.fm/SWJ Network. Also listen exclusively on Spotify, anchor.fm. Once again, anchor.fm/SWJ Network, and also on Spotify. Again, just look for that image with the green leaves and with the word Southwest Georgia Network in white. I'm Walter Johnson. I thank you for listening. Have a safe and happy Thanksgiving, and remember the reason for the season. Stay safe. God bless you. and goodbye.
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Southwest Georgia Network. The Southwest Georgia Network is online at southwestgeorgianetwork.com and on Twitter at SWGA Network. Thanks for listening.